Working on some construction stuff here, and oh, isn't that special? So this is Kevin, the host. You're listening, as I said, to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus, your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. True Wealth is, or Coins Plus has been in business for about 20-plus years, you know. And we really, really, really value the customer. That's you. We have, I think, transformed the entire area. In ways, we've had a very strong impact on the industry as a whole. We brought in a Christian spin to the business, as well as my banking background. My banking background, of course, is low margin, high volume. And when I first got into business, it was very interesting. There was an establishment, that, what's a nice way to put it? Colluded against the client, and we would not participate. And, so at first we were very unpopular. We still are. You know, we operate according to biblical standards. We are very human. Very rarely, it's been years and years, but, you know, I have had in the past people, you know, when we've made mistakes, kind of make comments about, you know, basically you're supposed to be perfect. You're a Christian. And we're not perfect, but, you know, the Bible, as you're all aware, is very, God's into righteousness. And, when I became a believer, man, did I struggle with that. Because I felt that everybody was better than me. And, you know, ironically, I think it's in Ephesians. I've been reading that, and we are supposed to have that attitude that everyone is better than us. And so, you know, in a roundabout way, I was probably thinking the right way, maybe with the wrong attitude or the wrong motivation or whatever it may be. But I will tell you, we have really tried to transform. We used to do a lot of national work when we were doing national shows. You know, the world we live in has changed. How has it changed? And so much trading used to take place at coin shows. And we, you know, we just brought a different attitude with us on how to treat the client, on how to handle product. Like I said, high volume, low margin. I didn't look at what percentage I was making. I just looked at the fact that I was making money. Now, at first you might think, I don't know. But you have to understand, when I opened this business back in the 90s and I was a banker, I was making, you know, I don't know, $200 bucks a business day. And, you know, and then I got where I'm like, geez, you know, I can do a $50,000 transaction and make $500 in a couple of hours. To me, that was like, wow, you know. And the other dealers had this percentage issue that they had locked themselves into. They had colluded with the clientele. Meaning, I got phone calls where they would literally warn me, I guess if you want to use the proper terminology, that lady such and such would be coming by the shop with an estate or whatever. And what they would do is they would collude together and they would discuss with each other what their bid was, and then they would, split the spoils. And that, for a number of reasons, biblically, I can go into them, but I won't, is not right. And so I put an end to that, and that didn't make me a real overnight sensation, I can tell you that. And I developed unintentionally some enemies, and I just brought a whole new philosophy to this business. And you know, some people might hear that and think, eh, this or that. And, you know, one regret is, I mean, we are on the Christian radio, which is great, but there is such an audience out there. A lot of people, you know, they do the pawn one thing. They take their gold to pawn one, or even jewelry stores. And they don't realize that as a gold broker, we literally operate on like a 4% margin, average. And, you know, if you know much about business, and some people do and some people don't, but if you know much about business, that's a low margin. It's a very, very low margin. And that's what we brought, because I looked at this and I said, what a blessing. And it was. God absolutely put our business together for us. He was terrific. I mean, it's just, it's been a really neat experience. One thing that I will tell you I've learned deeply from this business is when I was in banking, you know, different people are, equipped different ways. And don't take this wrong, but I have always had a kind of a knack for finances and money, okay? Now, that could be taken wrong, and it could be looked at very, materialistically and whatnot. Definitely not our intention. That's not what I mean by that at all. What I mean is it's an area of gifting that God led me into, and it started at a young age, and it just kind of progressed from there. And I even went to college and got a degree in applied mathematics and statistics, to be an actuary. And of course, this was after, you know, physical therapy, or in other words, studying physical therapy and doing a lot of health and food nutrition stuff. And I wish I applied that a little better now, but anyway, I was going down one road, and I loved math. I was really, really good at it. It was just a very natural thing for me. And I found myself basically, the only option I could see as a math person was a teacher. So I went through all the whole deal to become a teacher. Well, what was the other thing? PE, right? I was a very, very, very athletic person and loved it, loved it, loved it. In fact, exercise and weightlifting and whatnot, I'll admit it was my drug. Everybody would go out on the weekends and go down to the Rockin' R Bar in Bozeman, Montana, where Montana State University is. Everybody would go down for quarter beer night. I was the superintendent of the intramural. They call me the intramural athletic facility superintendent or something like that. And they had just built a brand new facility that was phenomenal. And I had the pleasure of being involved in the creation and development of an incredible weight room. I used to really lift a lot of weights. I used to be a big boy. I used to be really into football and heavy sports like that. And most people who know me, I'm about 6'2", you know, 6'3", as I used to be. Anyhow, and at one point, I was about 265 pounds with about a 4 or 5% body fat. and I used to bench press, you know, about over 440 pounds, and my best squat was 700, and I was very muscular and very fast, etc. From there, after that, I got out of college, applied all that energy, I don't know, sadly, maybe not sadly, towards business, towards making a living, taking care of my wife, really, who, after we had our son, had a massive, massive change in her health status. She always had rheumatoid arthritis. I knew very little about it. And I just knew, believe it or not, that she got a shot every month of, they call it myocrysine. Guess what that is? It is gold. Okay, gold suspension. They called it a gold salt suspension because obviously gold doesn't float in liquid very well. So they somehow bind it to a salt so your body carries it through the system. And then it settles where there's inflammation. Gold, folks, I'll tell you what. Gold has got magical, mystical, phenomenal, unbelievable properties created by God. Gold and silver, which are true wealth, always have been, always will be. I've mentioned it pops up in Genesis chapter 2. I will never, ever cease to be astounded by the fact that God created the earth in 7 days, and that's covered well in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 2, he goes straight into gold, where to get it, what it is. You know, to me, that says so much. And I've repeated this and repeated it and repeated it. And I often apologize for repeating things. And because of that, I think I've avoided some topics that are very valuable to people. And I always forget that listeners today may not have been listeners 10 or 7 or even 4 years ago. And the pharaohs used to bathe in black sand full of gold. They say by today's standards, to build one of these baths would literally cost hundreds of millions of dollars just in the gold that was in these baths. Now, according to legend and, you know, stories, pharaohs lived 30 to 40 years longer than the average public in a lot of cases. Many people attribute this to their exposure to gold. If you know anybody, like, for example, my wife with rheumatoid arthritis. Now, what rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune deficiency or disorder where your body attacks itself as a foreign substance. It tears apart the synovial tissue between your joints. It's extremely painful. Over time, the joints bend and move, and the body is in a constant state of inflammation. It is like having an internal infection that will never cease. The prevalence of rheumatoid arthritis skyrocketed with the introduction of immunizations, okay? Very good, very, very good reason, in my opinion. Your body, your skin, is your most important organ. It protects you at a level you just do not even get. We live in a liquid, and that liquid is filled with organisms, microorganisms, and a lot of them, a very large quantity of them are very threatening. People will talk about staph and MRSA and all these terrible infections and say, oh, don't get exposed to this or that or whatever, or E. coli. You are getting exposed to that, folks, every single day of your life. Your skin is protecting you from it, Okay. And so when you're, you know, if you tamper with or alter the state of your skin, it actually, you would die so quickly, you wouldn't even believe it. So when immunizations were created, the guy, I can't remember his name, who did the polio vaccine, at the time they introduced, everybody goes to the polio vaccine as hard proof, okay? And the graphs look real good. At the time of the introduction of the polio vaccine back in the 50s, polio was on a relatively strong decline already. It was on its way down. They introduced this immunization, boom, you know, in a short period of time, polio is under control. Do the immunizations work? Probably, sure. Do immunizations work in general? In general, no. When they're saying you got to get your flu shot, you got to get this, you got to get that. Folks, if you, you know, nobody will fund, especially because the government's behind it, nobody will fund a true study to find out the impact of immunizations long term. You've all heard people say autism and all these things are caused by it. Children. I saw a child. I was going into the courthouse one day, and the guy that was handling security said to this lady who had a baby, and the baby's leg was just swollen black and blue. I mean, bad. And he said, oh my gosh, what happened to him? Well, apparently this security guy had seen this child day in and day out. Every day it was summer. And so the child was wearing, I think, just like a diaper. And she goes, oh, he got his such and such immunization. And the guy obviously understands what you and I are discussing, how dangerous and bad immunizations are. And he was like, oh, what a shame. And he's like, oh, that's so terrible, and immunizations are so bad. And the lady that had the baby was the babysitter, and she goes, well, I don't really care. I'm the babysitter. It doesn't even affect me. I don't even care. It doesn't, not even my business, blah, blah, blah. Folks, immunizations are so dangerous. The sickest I've ever been in my life was after my father got an immunization. Remember when they were like, just positive, West Nile virus was going to hit America, and they created an immunization for it. And man, did people get sick. Wow. Well, my father, who was older, he got a shot, and whammo, 24 hours, sickest he's ever been. Really sick. At the exact same time, my mother was in the hospital having surgery where they were removing a lower lobe of her lung. She had stage 4++ melanoma. She had really, they had given her no time to live. We, in time, cured that with holistic chemo, which is the most extensive, you know, combination of SEAC, teas, and superfoods, and extremely high doses of vitamins, you know, 60,000 IUs a day of vitamin D, and massive, you know, I don't know, 25,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day, and certain mushroom tinctures, and vinegar water. And I'm not even touching it. Basically what it is it's a nonstop all day process. Well, if you're on chemo, your life is devastated anyway. It is absolute pure poison. From the beginning of Western medicine, going back hundreds and hundreds of years, we've always used the cut, burn, poison method of attacking. We have the attitude, this is an aggressive cancer, so we need to attack it even more aggressively. But the human body doesn't work that way. We need to do the opposite. We need to gently assist it in doing what God made it to do. And so these immunizations, they just keep rapidly increasing. And they start with infants, you know, at there's some of these immunizations have 100 different things in them. You can go back to whatever the first desert storm may be, where they the war in the Middle East, where Iraq invaded Kuwait. There's Desert Storm and Desert Shield and Desert this and Desert that. You know, we can call it the Gulf War. Desert Storm, I think, is what they referred to that one as. Okay. Well, they were terrified that Saddam was going to use chemical weapons. Of course, propaganda and whatnot. They had information from people that had defected and so on. We know later on about the weapons of mass destruction, whether they existed or not, I don't know. But, you know, we had a hard time tracking all that. I won't get into that. But what they did is they were afraid, so they created this incredible concoction immunization. In that immunization of 13 agents, one of them was an anthrax vaccine. You cannot introduce anthrax into your system in any way, shape, or form without destroying you, dead or alive, okay? It's deadly, period. So they forced every one of these soldiers to take this shot before they went. And then we had, what was that called? Maybe it was Desert Storm Syndrome or Gulf War Syndrome. That's what it was. I mean, we had like 100,000 men in the army that, you know, that's probably exaggerated. I don't know how many men got that. Okay. I don't know how many people. Let me see this. How many people what did I call it? Gulf War Syndrome. Okay. Well, here's what it was, in my opinion. And it was so bad, it literally melted people. It says approximately 250,000 of the 697,000 U.S. veterans who served in the 91 Gulf War were afflicted with enduring chronic multi-symptom illnesses, a condition with serious consequences, ultimately leading to death for all of them. In a lot of cases, this was transferred to their spouses. It literally melted their bodies. It was unbelievable. No one knew. You know, no one, the government wouldn't admit it. The government wouldn't acknowledge what was in the vaccine, etc. Very, very destructive. Okay, they killed these people. They'll never admit it, but they did. Okay, and so did we learn anything? No. We think vaccines are great. But what I was saying earlier, your skin is your protective organ. It's so phenomenal. It is the absolute most critical organ you have. When you take a supposed dead antigen I am not a doctor and I apologize, but when you take a dead, I'll say antigen, but that is not the word, but you introduce it into the body, the theory is that you're introducing a dead example of a deadly virus or bacteria. Your body is, this is all hypothetical, how immunizations work. Your body is supposed to see that your T cells your T cells go through your body and they check things out. They do recon. Then they take the information back to the brain And then they say, we've got something that's really dangerous here we need to address. Then it creates an antibody, okay? And then that antibody goes out and attacks. Well, here's what happened, and here's what's happening now, and that this is why 9 out of 10 cases are female. So this antigen gets introduced through the skin through an injection. Okay, you would never absorb that product. Well, never is a bad word. In the smallest percentage of cases, would you ever be introduced to these deadly viruses and bacteria through an injection? Okay, through the skin. They're going to come through your nose, your mouth, things like that. That is why cuts are dangerous. Cuts, you know, penetrate the skin. They allow things to get under the skin that were never developed, designed to be there. You know, you want to take a step further. Look at what happens in hospitals. People get so sick. We are having unbelievable, unprecedented deaths of people who are being hospitalized for whatever reason, okay? Consumers Reports and somebody else in the 90s got together and they wanted to create a law that required, demanded, made mandatory, however you want to call it, HEPA filters in hospitals. Okay. Now, a HEPA filter is a filter that is 100% thorough. It absolutely, completely, and totally blocks out and kills everything it comes in contact with. In a lot of cases, they will add to HEPA filters various things like copper, silver especially. Silver is incredible. People don't realize that silver will kill every microorganism within 4 seconds of contact. People use colloidal silver for various reasons. Nasally, it's an awesome product. Now, imagine why of the two elements, gold and silver, that we use as money. Number one, gold will never tarnish by any naturally occurring substance on Earth. Of course, you can create acids and things like that, but those are not naturally occurring substances. But naturally occurring substances, they don't tarnish gold. Gold can sit at the bottom of the ocean for hundreds of years and be pulled up and look brand new. In some cases, they might have barnacles on them or something like that, for the simple fact that that happens, okay? But underneath there is bright, shiny, brand new, untampered gold. Gold has amazing properties and principles. It is a 100% electricity conductor. It is gorgeous. It gets used for jewelry, correct, all over the place. People love it. Gold is molecularly the most perfect element in existence, and which means, and I'm sorry for bumping the mic, it means that molecularly it is a perfect matrix. And what that means is it can stretch and stretch and stretch and stretch and stretch. Argument is that if you could do it, which you can't, 1 ounce of gold, and it may be two, but say 1 or 2 ounces of gold, would hypothetically create a string that would reach from the West Coast to the East Coast, from LA to New York, and without coming apart because it's molecularly so strong. Why would God make it like that? Because it becomes infinitely divisible. There are all kinds of elements, you know, all kinds of palladium and platinum and things like that out there that are, very precious. In most cases, far more precious than gold. And folks, I know I bounce, but do not think just because something is scarce, it is permanently rare. Not the case whatsoever. Okay? Just you have to have the buyer for the product. And so the way it's set up is that it is designed in such a way that it basically it's perfect. It maintains its structural integrity in every case, every situation. Now, what's even more important? Silver. God made silver, and it was used for daily transactions, wasn't it? Silver change, okay? Now, if you want to own silver, one of the options we offer you, of course, you have the option of buying silver rounds. Those are 1 ounce round silver coins. Silver bars, you can buy in 10 ounce or 50 ounce or 100 ounce. And you can even buy 3 ounce and 2 ounce. Those are scarce. They're very scarce and they're very rare. When you get into very old, odd-shaped silver, it gets expensive. They used to have, we used to get a lot of what was referred to as crude bars, okay? What those were bread pan bars, I call them, where, you know, Uncle Fred would melt or refine silver in his backyard and make his own silver bars. Then he would mark it with a black grease pan or something, exactly how much silver was in it. The problem with that is you didn't know exactly what the purity was, and most of it was made by the melting of coinage, silver coinage, and people have all these misnomers, wives' tale fantasies, that if you deface currency or take away, you know, certain aspects of it, that you are breaking the law. Not the case. You have every right to do with whatever you want with that product. And so they do refine it, and they make it into pure silver. But we also sell bags of U.S. silver coinage before it's been refined, when it is still in the form of a coin or whatever. The purity of that stuff is 90%. Why? They alloy it with copper and for hardening. When you mix two metals together, you get what's called an alloy. When you mix two metals together, in a lot of cases, it will blow your mind, because the third product you get, or the consequence of alloying, and by the way, the term alloying means you take two metals, you melt them, you refine them, and you mix them together under heat, and you create a third metal. There is a trinominal. Hey, there's a new word for you. Tremendously phenomenal. How about that? There is a tremendously phenomenal number of metals that you use every day that are alloyed, okay? You can come up with all kinds of stuff. And so they alloyed the old coins with 10% copper. Why? To harden them so they did not wear out quickly. Copper by itself doesn't do it. I know I've got literally thousands and thousands and thousands of the old U.S. large cents. Okay. Our first penny in this country was almost the size of a half dollar. Now, that's a pretty good size, you know, piece. Getting close, you know, just a little bit smaller than, say, a golf ball. We've got all these different alloys that are seriously usable. They're phenomenal. They're incredible. Metal is an interesting product because ultimately over time it will redissolve and become part of the earth again. Synthetically, we are now using plastic garbage sacks for everything. Your Tupperware dish, everything is made out of plastic now. So you need, I guess, remain aware of that and understand that there is an environment that is important. God spoke the master said, I'm leaving and I will return and I'm putting you in charge of my vineyard. This is a parable. The parable is designed to represent our responsibility to care for the earth. So hypothetically, Christians, now conservatives have been labeled as wanting to destroy the earth, not respecting it, you know. And then you get the liberals, and what do they do? Oh, my God, you know, they've got to basically vilify and create all this carbon consumption taxes and all kinds of things, folks, that really, ultimately, the product is going to destroy the earth. It's happening as we speak. There is an area in the Pacific Ocean that is literally hundreds of miles long and hundreds of miles wide because the currents tend to gather there. It is filled with plastic and junk and garbage. What's worse of all about this is the amount of death that it has imposed on the animals in the area. I've watched videos that are unbearable. I love animals. I love animals. Like, you cannot believe I love animals. I love life. I love what God's done. I love his creation. I love the number of species on the earth. When James Cameron created his vessel, which went to the deepest part of the Marianas Trench, I think he discovered something like 231 new species just in one minute little area. And the earth is so full of species, we will never, ever catalog them all. There's nobody who cares. We don't need to know them all, but we do need to realize how phenomenal his creation is, how incredible it is, and you know, and what he exactly left behind for us as keepers of his vineyard. He says he will come back one day and he wants to see what we've done. Now, honestly, have we done a good job? No. We are hypocrites. We run around with this green thing. Everything has to be green. Green's the term. It's supposed to be less impactful on the environment. And there's things that we're doing, electric cars and LED light bulbs. And, you know, of course, when you go to dispose of these things, you're supposed to go through this long, brutal process that, you know, to protect the environment because it's so harsh on the environment. You think about batteries. Everything runs on a battery. When you dispose of a battery, you're supposed to go through all kinds of rigmarole. But ultimately, where does that end up? You know, I don't know. But I will tell you this. Salt water in the ocean ultimately destroys everything. This is why evidence of pre-flood, you know, existence or whatever you want to call it is very difficult to locate because it's all been destroyed by the salt water. And of course, there were massive mudslides. The earth, until you've seen the aftermath of a real flood, and I'm talking, you know, tiny on the earth scale, microcosmic. But when you see the impact, you are like, wow, that it's amazing. You know, it covers everything with mud. The mud instantly starts to dissolve and destroy. There is archaeological records of 600-foot mudslides that traverse from Northeast America all the way down to the Gulf. The Gulf used to travel way up into the United States. And so there's all kinds of leftover caverns. They've found, you know, evidence of all kinds of life. There are caverns that go and go and go. There's really some cool stuff on this earth from prior inhabitants. There's mountains in Peru that they finally started to dig into one of them, and they found out that the entire mountain was a mortar structure with massive stones. Prior to the flood, I spoke last week about what they call a tell. A tell is a mountain that is city upon city upon city upon city upon city. At Megiddo, where Armageddon will ultimately take place. And the reason that Armageddon is relevant to that area is simple, because there's a 4,000 mile trench valley, and there's only a few ways out. One of them happens to be in Israel. So they've over the years been able to control that and profit from it and whatnot and so forth and so on. And anyway, so they tried to get HEPA, you know, the Consumer's Reports wanted HEPA filters and all the aircraft and hospitals. The hospitals lobbied against it, and there is some terrible diseases. So long story short, vaccines, okay? You introduce these foreign antigens into your body that would never ever have entered your body through that method. Your body doesn't know how to handle it. So what happens is they freely float through your system, and where do they land? They land where there is inflammation. Why? I don't know. But here's the problem. The T cells recognize them, and they're not supposed to be there that way. So the T cell goes back and it creates antibodies. And it goes and it actually will create an antibody of the combination of whatever this bacteria or virus is combined with what they call mammalian protein. Okay, you're a mammal and your body has protein. So it will create an antibody against you. Okay, now women are the worst. Why? Because girls are developing for their whole life, from the time of birth all the way through, their reproductive organs never stop developing. So there's always a fraction of inflammation there, which welcomes this antibody to be developed. Women have all kinds of diseases. Anti-immune or immune disorders, etc., because of this very reason, okay? I would just say, to keep it simple, don't get vaccinated. We did not vaccinate our children for religious reasons. That's all you need to tell the schools. That's it. Now, In private settings, unfortunately, they can require it. My daughter worked for Schweitzer Engineering Laboratories, and they, in order to put her son into the daycare, he had to have just this barrage of immunizations. She refused, and so it's put her in a tough spot. It is peer pressure now. Every time through history, the government has gotten involved in medicine. You see billboards all over. Those are funded by the government. Get your flu shot now, et cetera, et cetera. Those types of ads, anytime the government in history has gotten involved in science, it's proven wrong. Okay? We've had cut, burn, poison. We've had leaching. We've had bleeding. We've had, you know, castor oil for cancer. We've had it all, okay? There are a lot of alternatives. We went the wrong direction at the beginning in the United States. They created a university that was going to gather data infinitely from around the earth, from everything from frog venom to different kinds of algaes. They spoke to countless tribes throughout the earth, and they wanted to find out what they did. The Native Americans have all kinds of phenomenal concoctions that they used for what was called consumption, cancer. Cancer often is caused by your body getting agitated and over emphasizing certain, you know, cells or whatever. We know, a lot of us know cancer survivors. If you take chemo, it will knock 10 years off your life minimum, depending on what it is. They're constantly changing chemo all the time because you're on the newest, hottest thing all the time, because if they kept the same old stuff, everyone knows it doesn't work. So they have to constantly have the newest, hottest thing. I had a regional manager for Pfizer tell me some things. Basically, he was ready to retire, and he told me he worked for the devil. He felt that what they did to people was so far out there and so bad and so destructive to the human body, he was ashamed of it, but he still worked there. Ethical decisions, money, 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 money. There's so much money in immunizations. I met a couple in Glacier who had were both doctors. They were going around speaking. They had four kids. Their first two kids got immunized. Both got extreme cases of autism and, you know, forms of retardation. The next two children, they did not immunize. Perfect. Okay, now some people say, well, that's coincidence. Okay, well, statistically, it's not. And when you can do this time and time again with families, and people think that if you're a good parent, you will immunize your child. My daughter-in-law is now a doctor, okay, and she takes more heat and more flack at the hospital for not immunizing her children. They say she's evil. Now, if everybody else is immunized, why do you need to be immunized? There was a huge mumps outbreak in northern Spokane and the Meade area a few years back, okay? They came up with all kinds of malarkey reasoning for why it happened. Now, everybody was immunized, or at least 85% of the people were immunized. They blamed it on the 15 that weren't immunized. Now, explain that to me. You're immunized, and you get exposed to it, and you get it, and it's somebody else's fault because they weren't immunized. So, what? You know? It just does not make sense, okay? And I had no intention of covering this today. I think it's very important to understand. I don't have all my data in front of me, which you've probably become used to, because I really do wing these shows a little bit, and I apologize for that. But it is, it's just, you know, it's just my schedule and the way I'm, you know, just the amount of time I have to prepare for the show. And I really wish I did a better job. And I do understand I have a pretty heavy following on the show. I respect that. I thank you for that. And I really appreciate, as a side note, all the business that you've brought Coins Plus over the years. That's how we make our living. And I thank you for that. Right now, I am going to jump ship, and I'm going to tell you real quick. I've asked in the past. I'm going to ask again. Do you want a nice, quality, borderline uncirculated Morgan Silver Dollar from the 1800s? Then simply go on Google, give us a five-star review, mention your experience with us, and prove it. And then all you got to do is call us. We will verify it. We will get you that coin. If you're local, you can pick it up. If you're not, we'll mail it to you. If you want two of them, do three reviews. Do like Yahoo, Bing, and especially Google first. And there's other ones out there I can't think of off the top of my head. But get our name out there. It is so hard in this day and age. I am old school. I did a lot of print advertising, and I put us on the map. We shared half a pounders for many years. I spent a ton of money just getting people to know where Pounders alone was. Since then, we've built probably the finest, one of the very finest facilities nationwide, extremely secure. We offer one of the highest rated privately held depository services in the Western region. We specialize in building successful portfolios, okay? That means portfolios that grow and preserve your capital. We call it wealth and capital preservation. It is important that you do it. I just talked to a friend of mine last night. He had $1 million in his account. He works for the government. I said, dude, you got $1 million. He goes, not anymore. I don't. I go, what do you mean? He said, well, after this last little, you know, hiccup in the market, I dropped money. I asked how much. His $1 million is now $750,000. That's a lot of money, folks, for being in the hottest, greatest market of all time. I am telling you, I am warning you, please trust me that something is coming. Something is coming, and it's coming hard, and it's coming fast. And you can protect yourself by building your own gold standard. Hard assets. Even real estate is trouble because the Fed's going to raise rates. It's going to cost people more. We're going to have another kind of bubble. People have more debt, student loan debt than ever before, more consumer debt. People have to live on credit cards just to get by. And I'm telling you, folks, you can roll over or roll out. You want to roll your metal, your 401k or IRA into precious metals, call us. We do it. It's easy. It's just very cake. It's simple. You can consider rolling out. That gives you 15 months to pay the tax. The metals are poised for a massive run. They are going to do it because we have overinflated the market based strictly on hyperinflation. The only thing that's going to protect you is hard assets. God made gold and silver money. God numerous times told his people, get all the gold, get all the silver. And God said, I own it all. It's mine. It matters to God more than any other asset. Our heart condition blows all that away. But when you talk about monetary materialism, gold and silver based assets are it. Okay? You've been innately designed to desire value. We are so out of time. I hate it. It's my forte, and I thank you for tuning in. Folks, please, we have got the most fine inventory we've ever had. It is time for you to make the move. The time's never been better. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless, and have a great week. Bye-bye.